Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Mac by Fiona Davenport, narrated by Abby Page and Kyle Mason. Prologue. Bridget. Nudging the kitchen door open with my foot, since I was holding two glasses of sweet tea in my hands, I stopped dead in my tracks and it almost smacked me straight in the face. When I'd arrived back at the compound, one of the prospects told me that I'd have to wait to talk to my dad because he was busy. I wasn't surprised, since I was used to playing second fiddle to club business. It wasn't that my dad didn't love me. He absolutely did. But he had a lot of responsibilities on his shoulders as president of the Hounds of Hellfire MC. Instead of complaining, I decided to make a batch of my dad's favorite drink, besides whiskey or beer. I was hoping it would soften him up a little for whatever he'd called me to the clubhouse to talk about. Only I was shocked that his meeting was with the last person I ever expected to see there. Jared Mac McKenzie, president of the Silver Saints MC. My father's rival, and my secret crush ever since I first laid eyes on him a year ago. He was 20 years older than me, but that didn't stop me from fantasizing about what it would be like to be with him. To run my fingers through his light brown hair, feel those muscles under my hands, trace his tattoos with my fingers, maybe my tongue, too. To feel his beard scrape against my skin as he claimed my mouth, and to tilt my head back and stare into his pale green eyes and find them looking at me instead of through me like I wasn't even there. He didn't notice me gawking at him as he stormed through the clubhouse, slamming the door on his way out. Had no idea I took several steps forward, following after him until I heard the roar of his motorcycle's engine. Would never know that I flinched when my dad called out my name because it pulled me out of my Mac stupor and brought me back to reality. The one where I knew I'd never have a chance with him. As if there was even a remote possibility of that ever happening, I mumbled to myself as I changed direction and headed to my dad's office. A man like Mac had no interest in a girl like me, no matter how much dreaming I did about him. And if he ever did, my dad would put a stop to it anyway. If I wasn't sure about it before, the thunderous look on his face when I found him sitting behind his desk would have convinced me that it was hopeless. "Hey, Daddy, I made you some tea," I said softly as I held a glass out to him.
"Thanks, Princess,"
he grumbled, taking the drink from me before he pointed at a chair.
"Sit down. We need to talk."
I did as he asked, just like always, crossing my ankles and smoothing the knee-length skirt of my sundress over my legs before I got settled in my seat. "Is everything okay?"
"No, not even close."
My heart started to hammer in my chest at his response. My dad wasn't one to show weakness, not even with me. Seeing the scared look on my face, he heaved a deep sigh.
"But it will be. Things are fucked up right now, but I'll figure a way out of it. I always do."
I couldn't imagine a situation that would get the best of him, so I was quick to agree. "I'm sure you will, Daddy."
"In the meantime, I need you to stick close to home more than usual. The boys will keep an eye on you, like they always do."
"I'm supposed to start my new job next week," I reminded him. A feeling of dread started to creep over my skin.
"It'll be easier on all of us if you're here or at the house instead of running around town. The job can wait."
"But..."
"I'm not asking you, Bridget. I'm telling you," he growled.
"I don't think they will be able to hold the job for me if it's going to be more than a week. The library's already short-staffed, and I was lucky they were willing to give me a week off after graduation before I started." My hands twisted in my lap as I silently pleaded with him to understand. I really wanted this job. His deep blue eyes, the exact same color as mine, held a hint of apology. But his face looked like it was carved from stone.
"I know how much you were looking forward to working there, but your safety comes first, and I can't risk having you in town that much right now."
"Does this have something to do with the Silver Saints, MC?"
"It's club business, Princess."
Which meant I wasn't going to get any more of an explanation about what was going on, not even if I lost my job over the situation, whatever it was.
Stick close to home, stay alert, and stay the fuck away from anyone in a Silver Saints cut, especially Mac.
Chapter 1. Mac. Fucking hounds, I grunted, as I used my fist to open the door to my office. It flew back and smashed into the wall, startling the tall, lanky man sitting behind my desk. Kyle Scout West, my VP, took one look at my face and frowned fiercely. He refused? I lifted my chin as I rounded the desk, and he stood to vacate my spot. Wouldn't fucking budge. Flopping down in my chair, I stifled the impulse to smash something else. Barely acknowledged he even knew about the incident. 3 days ago, Logan, my road captain, ended up in the hospital after a fight broke out at a local street race. Seemed he'd stepped in when another man got too rough with a woman, and the other man had brought a baseball bat into the brawl. All we knew about the motherfucker was that he had been wearing a Hounds of Hellfire cut, and Logan was in a fucking coma so he couldn't call out the bastard. I wanted retribution, to teach the fucker how to treat a woman, and to never mess with a Silver Saint unless they wanted the wrath of the entire MC to rain down on them. But the only way to figure out the identity of the club member was through their prez. None of his members would betray the Brotherhood. Everyone knew that Pierce's only weakness was his pampered little princess of a daughter. I'd made the mistake of assuming the jackass would be outraged that one of his men would mistreat a woman. "What next?" Scout asked. The rigid angles of his face were made harsher by a deep scowl, and his gray eyes were screaming for blood. As if his appearance wasn't intimidating enough, he'd been a scout sniper in the Marines, and just about everyone except me was at least a little afraid of him. I had held on to a plan as a last resort, and I didn't see any other choice. We take something from him to bargain with. Scout's mouth quirked up at the corner, but it was a menacing smirk. Which of his sorry-ass brothers do I get to put the screws to? I shook my head and opened the laptop perched on the desktop. They aren't good enough. Has to be someone he would give anything to get back. My fingers typed quickly until I found what I was looking for. A local newspaper article about a book drive put on at the library in town. Flipping the computer around, I pointed to the screen, where a small group was smiling for the camera. A willowy redhead stood at the edge, her smile bright but shy. Bridget Pierce. "You want to go after his kid?" Scout asked, his tone incredulous. "You have a fucking death wish, Mac." She's the only one with the amount of leverage we need. Might be right about that, he admitted gruffly. But how the fuck are we supposed to get our hands on her? He keeps her locked up tight in her little castle, or surrounded with his boys. And unless he's lost his damn mind, he'll have her under extra security after your meeting today. I leaned back in my chair and rubbed a hand over my beard, thinking. Their next run. May have beefed up her security, but that will leave the compound a little thin. I grinned mockingly at Scout. I'm thinking your skills have gotten a little rusty. A mission like this is just what you need. He'd use tranks to clear me a path, and he'd do it at night, from as far as 1,000 yards away. Fuck you, he snapped, even as he returned my grin. I'm a fucking god with a rifle. His smile turned lewd. And any other weapon? Just ask Cat. I rolled my eyes and flipped him the bird. Cat was Scout's old lady, and I had zero desire to talk to her about his prowess beyond a sniper rifle. Get your ass out of my office. We parked our hogs a mile away and loaded into a black van driven by one of our prospects. He dropped us near the back of the compound and then nestled the vehicle near the edge of the surrounding woods. It only took about 10 minutes before we spotted two members patrolling the electric fence surrounding their property. One at a time, they fell to the ground as Scout's silent ammunition struck them.
"Probably got 10 minutes before they send someone out to check on those two," Hack and Enforcer informed me through my earbud. "If the Scout takes them down, maybe another 5 before they sound the alarm."
I grunted a reply and crept up to the fence. Trading my riding gloves for thick, complete leather ones, I nodded to the brother with me, Grub. He handed me a pair of razor-sharp plastic wire cutters. Reputation and appearance went a long way in protecting the hound's compound, and I knew they kept the electric charge at a lower voltage because they felt secure in the other aspects. Still, without the proper precaution, touching the crisscross metal would knock me on my ass and keep me shuddering for a while. With that in mind, I carefully cut a large arch into the fence, then pulled it open and secured it with rubber clips. I tossed my tools back to Grub and once again changed out of my gloves. I went with thin black leather this time. It gave me more dexterity since I didn't need protection from the electricity at this point.
"Going in," I murmured. 3 minutes down," Hack grumbled. "Move your ass and don't get caught."
I didn't take the time to respond with a scathing comment, instead focusing on slipping through the hole I'd made. The president of an MC usually lived at the clubhouse, unless he's got a family. Pierce was paranoid and didn't want to be far, but he didn't want his precious daughter living in the clubhouse, so he'd built a private addition off the back. Other than guards and a few prospects, most of the club was helping with their current run because it was one of their biggest clients. He hadn't skimped on the protection, though, and I knew I'd have to deal with one or two guys if I tried to get inside on the main floor. A few days of recon had shown us which windows Bridget seemed to pass by the most, and we'd determined that her bedroom was at the top right, the one with a balcony. At well over 6 feet, it only took me a running leap to grab hold of the bottom and pull myself up enough to shift my grip to the railing. Spending hours at the gym and in the ring definitely paid off. I shook my head in exasperation when I realized the sliding glass door was unlocked. The kid was clueless. Silently, I slid it open and stepped into the moonlit room. I scanned the space until my eyes landed on the bed, then shuffled over until I stood at the side. Fuck me running. The girl lying on the bed had thrown off the covers and was dressed in only a thin tank top and tiny shorts. This was no kid, though. She was a woman. From her gorgeous red hair splayed on her pillow, to her plump, kiss-me lips, to her generous tits, to her long, fucking long legs. My cock swelled and my mouth watered. I was in deep fucking shit.
Chapter 2. Bridget. I'd been feeling restless ever since I'd had that talk with my dad. Or maybe it was from seeing Mac in the clubhouse. Either way, I'd barely been able to eat or sleep, and it hadn't gotten any better tonight. If anything, it was worse since I'd had the hardest time falling asleep. I tossed and turned, waking up 3 times already. I was cold, jumpy, and irritable. "Not again," I mumbled under my breath, reaching for my sheet and blanket. My hope was that I'd be able to fall back asleep if I could get warm again. Then I caught a glimpse of something out of the corner of my eye, and I figured I must be having one of those dreams where you thought you were awake, but you really weren't, because that something I'd caught sight of was actually a someone. And not just anyone, it was Mac, I breathed out, before it registered that what I was seeing was not a dream. As he stalked towards me, quickly closing the space between my bed and the sliding glass doors leading to the balcony, I realized he was actually in my room. For real. Dressed all in black, leather jacket under his cut, shirt, jeans, boots, and gloves. Jerking upright, I gasped, "What in the world?"
"Fuck," he gritted out.
Those pale green eyes of his narrowed, raking up and down my body. Then his nostrils flared, and his lips formed into a line. All of his focus was on me, just like I'd always wanted. Only I couldn't wrap my brain around it. "You shouldn't be here," I hissed when he made it to the side of my bed. My gaze darted from him to the door and back again. My dad wasn't around, but I knew that he'd left guys to watch over the place because I was home. "Someone's going to catch you, and then..." He reached down to wrap his hand around my arm, and I lost track of what I'd been trying to say.
"Quiet," he ordered.
"But..."
"If you can't keep quiet, you'll be right. Someone will figure out I'm here. But you'll also be wrong, because they're not going to catch me. They try to get in my way. What they're going to get is hurt. Doesn't matter how many men I have to go through, you're coming with me."
"Coming with you?" I echoed. I shook my head in confusion, and his fingers tightened on my arm. He bent down low, his face only inches from mine.
"You heard me. We can do this the easy way or the hard way. Choice is yours."
His gaze dropped down to my chest, where my pebbled nipples were poking against my tank.
"If you're looking for an incentive to go the easy route, cooperation means I don't have to carry your ass out of here dressed like you are right now."
His expression darkened, the idea really seeming to piss him off. Considering I only ever wore this little clothing in the privacy of my bedroom, and that the man doing the talking was Mac, the decision was simple. I have a sweater and jeans I can toss over my pajamas. He lifted a hand, and one long finger traced the strap of my tank on my shoulder. I felt the heat rise in my cheeks, a mixture of shyness and desire evoked by being so close to my fantasy man with barely any clothes on.
"Get 'em on, now."
When he stepped back and jerked his head towards my closet, I scurried off my mattress. It only took me a minute to grab what I needed and toss it on. Then I shoved a pair of socks onto my feet and slid on a pair of gym shoes. As soon as I was done, Mac led me out the sliding glass door and onto my balcony.
"Shit,"
he grunted. "What's wrong?" I whispered. I squinted my eyes and tried to peer around, worried that he'd spotted one of the guys and something awful was about to happen.
"Just trying to figure out how the hell I'm going to get you down safely."
I glanced over the railing at the ground, surprised that I didn't see a ladder. "How'd you get up here?"
"Jumped and pulled myself up,"
he muttered distractedly. Like it was no big deal, and it didn't make him sexier than he already was.
"If I drop down first, I can catch you, but you'll have to be careful going over the railing. Or,"
his eyes raked up and down my body again,
"I can lower you down far enough that you'll be able to fall the rest of the way without getting hurt. You're light enough that it'll work."
I jerked my finger to the left. "Or we could just use the fire escape ladder my dad got me for that window. He kind of goes overboard when it comes to my safety."
"Not nearly fucking enough,"
he grumbled as he followed me back into my room and over to the window. When I bent over to pick up the ladder, he nudged me out of the way. I had to bite my lip to stifle a nervous giggle at the ridiculousness of him being pissed at my dad for me not being more protected when he was in the middle of kidnapping me. I'd barely managed to contain myself by the time he had the ladder set up and glowered at me.
"You're gonna go down first. And don't forget to be quiet, or else my man out there is going to have to take out anyone who comes to investigate what's going on."
I gulped a little at the reminder of how serious this situation was and nodded my head. I carefully climbed out the window, hooked my feet into the rungs beneath me, and almost lost my footing when I found myself chest to face with Mac. My sweater did a better job of covering my nipples than my tank had, but they were still visibly poking against the material. Mac's gaze was zeroed in on them, making my breasts feel heavier as my nipples grew even harder.
"Move," he ordered.
I scurried down the ladder and quietly waited for him to follow when I reached the ground. It didn't take long, and then we were racing towards the fence, his hand wrapped around mine as I tried to keep up with his long strides. I stumbled when I saw two bodies on the ground, about 15 feet down the fence line from us. Mac turned to steady me, noticed where my eyes were glued, and lifted me into his arms.
"They're not dead. Only knocked out," he rasped in my ear. although they deserve a fuck of a lot more than the headaches they'll wake up with for being so goddamn lax on the job when they were supposed to protect you. Sneaking in to grab the Princess of the Hounds of Hellfire should have been a lot harder than it was.
I didn't have time to consider why he'd be so angry at my dad's men when they'd made his job easier, not with him practically dragging me to a black van parked near the woods behind the compound. The engine was running and the back doors were open. Mac shoved me inside, closing the doors behind us after he climbed in. I swallowed my yelp when I saw there were three men waiting for us. The driver, a guy in the passenger seat, and one in the back who caught me before I fell on the floor. Mac yanked me out of his arms and held onto me as the van wrenched forward. We all sat in silence for the couple of minutes we drove down the street. When we stopped, the doors swung open and a tall guy with a VP patch on his cut peered inside, his gray eyes locked on me.
Did I see what I thought I saw? She provided the ladder for her own kidnapping.
Yep, that was me. The girl who helped the guy of her dreams, her dad's rival, the one he'd warned her to stay away from, smuggle her out of her bedroom in the middle of the night. I was either the smartest girl ever, or the dumbest.
Chapter 3. Mac. Damn, she felt good in my arms. Too fucking good. I quickly shoved her at Scout, frustrated at my reaction to her. She rides with you. His eyebrows shot up to his hairline, but I ignored him as I hopped out of the van. I kept my eyes averted, so I wouldn't see how she responded to my order. If she liked the idea of being near Scout, I was afraid I'd rip his fucking head off. However, I couldn't help watching her hips and tight ass sway as she walked away from me. I stalked to my hog and got on, slamming my foot down on the Kickstarter. Scout's engine revved, and I looked jerkily in his direction. Bridget was sitting on the back of his bike, her slim arms wrapped around Scout's torso. Even though Scout already had an old lady, something inside me howled in protest at the sight of her clinging to him. To anyone but me. It didn't seem to matter that she was too fucking young for me. Too sweet and innocent. Fuck, I muttered, before yelling to be heard over the noise from the bikes. Bridget, get over here. Scout's head pivoted, and he smirked at me before helping her off the seat. I scowled darkly, my eyes threatening retribution if he said even one fucking word. Bridget hesitated when she caught sight of my expression. I held out my hand and beckoned her forward with my fingers, softening my look so she wouldn't be afraid. I handed her a helmet and fastened the straps, tucking her red hair out of her face. "Hop on, baby," I growled. "We need to get the fuck out of here." She climbed on and wrapped her arms around me tightly. Her tits pressed flush against my back, and I could feel her heart racing. I rarely let any woman ride with me, but when I had, it had never felt this good. She fit me like a glove. Shaking my head, I tried to dispel the thoughts invading my mind and took off like a bat out of hell. We reached the Silver Saints compound a little less than an hour later. Once inside the main garage, I shut off my bike and helped Bridget to her feet. As she swung her leg over, she lost her balance and went tumbling into my chest. Son of a bitch! Riding with her wrapped around me had made me hard as fuck. But when she was pressed against my front, I thought my dick was going to burst through my damn jeans. She looked up at me with wide, deep blue eyes, her pink lips slightly parted, and her skin flushed. I could too easily imagine how she would look after being thoroughly fucked, and I shoved her away quickly, trying to get some control. I hadn't kidnapped her to make her my plaything. I didn't roll that way. She was simply leverage for the swap. I had no intention of corrupting Pierce's innocent little princess, no matter how tempting the idea was. The last thing I needed was to jeopardize the plan by getting involved with her. Besides, I reminded myself, she's too damn young for you. I was old enough to be her motherfucking father. After removing her helmet, I grasped her arm and towed her behind me to the clubhouse. Do what I tell you, keep out of the way, and you'll be headed home to your palace as soon as your asshole father does what I want, I explained as we walked. We entered through a side door so I could take her down the hall to my office without parading her through the front room. Just the idea of anyone else leering at her had my blood boiling. I was so intent on our destination that I almost plowed into Kat when she stepped out of the kitchen. Kat looked Bridget up and down before turning to me with a curious and slightly disgusted expression.
"That Pierce's little princess?" she asked.
"Bridget," I corrected, surprisingly irritated at Kat's description and attitude. "Don't want any of the other girls or old ladies hassling her." I gave Kat a hard look. "I'm putting you in charge of her." Kat narrowed her grassy green eyes and pursed her lips for a moment, but simply nodded. "Making the call to Pierce now, then I'll put her in my room." Kat's eyebrows practically went through the roof, and Bridget made a muffled noise that I didn't take the time to interpret. Kat clearly thought I'd lost my mind, and I didn't completely disagree with her. Yeah, it was a stupid fucking move, but while I would trust my brothers with my life, I didn't trust them with Bridget. I stepped around Kat, effectively dismissing her, and continued dragging Bridget to my office. Inside, I slammed the door shut and walked her to a worn couch pushed up against the left wall. "Sit." When she obeyed without question, I nodded and went to sit at my desk. My eyes strayed to Bridget as I dialed Pierce's number. She was gazing around the room, her eyes more curious than apprehensive. Her reactions to everything were throwing me off kilter. I'd expected her to be terrified and to throw a spoiled tantrum not to be so damn cooperative.
"What do you want, Mac?" Pierce grunted when he answered.
"Same thing I wanted the last time we talked, jackass," I snarled.
"Well, fuck off. I haven't changed my mind, and I'm not gonna."
"How about a trade?"
"Ain't nothing you got that I'd ever want, Mac."
"That's where you're wrong, Pierce," I sneered smugly. I put the phone on speaker and pointed at Bridget. "Say hello to Daddy, princess." She blanched and stared at me as she answered.
Hi, Daddy."
"What the fuck?"
Pierce roared. Bridget flinched, but I just smiled maniacally.
"I will fucking kill you, Mac."
"Relax, Pierce. I have no intention of hurting or violating your perfect spawn. I'm suggesting a straight-up trade. Bridget for the motherfucker who put my guy in a coma." Pierce didn't say anything at first, the only sound his heavy breathing, as he tried to calm his temper.
"It'll take me some time to find him." "1 week," I snapped, without letting him finish.
"You don't have him by then, your little girl will have to earn her keep around here." I hung up before Pierce could get in another word. Bridget's eyes were wide as she stared at me. Again, I was a little baffled by the small spark of curiosity shining through her alarm. I frowned as I stood and prowled over to stand in front of her.
"No one will touch you," I assured her. "But that doesn't mean I won't put you to work. This isn't your castle on a cloud, baby. You'll have to learn to dirty those hands."
Her beautiful blue eyes narrowed, and she opened her mouth to speak. But a knock on my door drew both our attentions.
"Yeah?"
Hack popped his head in and glanced at Bridget before his eyes landed on me.
"Club business, Prez."
I nodded and gestured for Bridget to stand. "Give me 10 and we'll meet back here."
"Sure thing."
He left the door open when he spun around and disappeared down the hall. "Follow me. Stay close and keep your head down," I instructed Bridget. I led her to a set of stairs and up, then down another hall to the door at the end. Opening the door, I lifted my chin, indicating that she should enter. Her soft body brushed against mine as she walked over the threshold, and I stifled a groan. I needed some damn air.
Don't leave this room without me or...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?